Welcome to Beyond the Bombshell, the podcast that dives deep into the heart and soul of real life. I'm your host, Michelle Stokes, and I'm here to guide you through this empowering journey. We'll talk about real life and what it truly takes to be a strong, confident, and fulfilled woman. Join us as we rewrite the rules and celebrate the extraordinary and fierce women we all are. We'll share insights, build a space for uncomfortable conversations, and truly just embrace real life. Let's go beyond the surface and find your real life bombshell. Hello and welcome back to Beyond the Bombshell. In honor of Mother's Day this past weekend, I'm going to do a little walk down memory lane of my experience and what I can remember of being a mom. And hopefully I can remember some highs and lows and specifics to talk to you, because I feel like there's a bunch of women that are moms that listen and watch and follow along and comment and DM on a regular on our socials and listen to our podcast. But I'm hoping that I can do like a little time lapse of my 11 years of being a mom and just walk talk through some of the highlights, some of the core memories that I remember, the good and the bad, and we'll see how this goes. So in honor of all of the amazing moms, my mom, my grandmothers, all of you who are in my circle, near and far, happy Mother's Day, and let's dive right in. So I feel like I should start about back when we lived in Alberta and I found out I was pregnant with Ben. And I hope my kids don't listen to any of this, because they'll be like, what, mom, you, blah, blah, blah. I feel like we had kids young. Bennett is 11 and he will be 11 and I'm 37. So I was 26 when I had him. So at the time I thought, yeah, it's the right time to do it. But now looking back, I'm like, most of our friends that live here don't have kids that are 11. We probably would have waited a little bit longer if we lived home. I just feel like when we lived in Alberta, like our life just like progressed super, super quickly because we had two really good jobs. All of our friends were a little bit older and we're not in Alberta for like several years before we got there established, and we got ourselves established pretty quick. Had the house and it was like, what's next? What next? It seems to be a baby because that's what everyone else is doing. And literally us and three or four, I don't know how many, at least four of us in our like immediate circle all got pregnant and had like kids around the same year. So it was like the thing to do. It's what we did. So Josh is a baby at 25 years old, became a dad. So that's pretty, we weren't mature enough to be parents, but here we are. We live and learn. But I don't remember us like, I wish he was here actually right now. Maybe he would remember. He has a pretty good memory, way better than I do. Did we talk about, oh, we're going to try now? Or we must have done some kind of planning, because I was on the pill for like years and years and years and decided to stop it. One, because I was a half a psychopath when I was on the pill. The hormones were just wild. And maybe that's a common denominator, I feel, after these past couple recordings. But so we did obviously plan it and stop all that. I was blessed, fertile Myrtle here, if you had to get Josh's version of story, it was like he didn't even get to practice. It just one time and done. So that was that. I think he was hoping that he would be able to practice a little bit more. But anyway, so one thing I remember with both my pregnancies is that during the pregnancy, I felt like a hot fucking mom. I think it was, this is how I tell people, I was like, I could have been fat. I could be fat. And there's a reason why I didn't have to worry about like how clothes looked on me, because I was pregnant. My boobs were freaking humongous. Eat and drink whatever I wanted. And I just felt fat and fabulous. Literally, it was like I was thriving. No pressures. No pressures on like how I looked or whatever, or how my ass looked or anything in a dress. Because it was like I got the baby bump. And the ladies and the girls were just, as in my boobs, were just complimenting it. And that was really like my pregnancies on both my kids. First trimester, I was like a little bit sick, like morning sickness, couldn't shower, stuff like that. First thing in the morning, it was awful. But besides that, I was like thriving, thankfully. Both kids, I'm jumping ahead now, but both kids I was nursing at the time. So 11 years ago and 5 years ago, both kids I was still nursing and worked up until, and both pregnancies worked up. With Ben, I think I was 38 weeks because I was working in Alberta and in emergency. And the beauty with Emerge is once I got past my like 36 weeks, where a lot of people usually go off, I just only worked in triage. So like I literally just sat and walked around in triage and did the intake form and triage patients as they came in. If someone was really, really sick, there was a button and there was like someone would come out and help me and security was just right there. So like I did that. I worked extra. I worked a lot longer than most people did. And for Scarlett, I was on cardiology here, which was a bit more physically straining just because the unit was so big and the patients are heavy. And I think I went off at 36 weeks, but both healthy pregnancies, had to do the glucose test the second time just to make sure. So I was just on the cusp two times in case, but didn't have any issues that way. When it came to deliveries of both, it was like chalk and cheese, two completely different delivery stories. Bennett's was a nightmare. And I guess I think I just have this like crazy pain tolerance because both kids I delivered naturally, not because I'm like a naturopath and need to do it a certain way. I was like, give me all the pills. I want everything. You can cut me open. I don't give a shit. Like, I don't want to feel any of this. I just wanted to be over with. And both times I waited too long to go in the hospital and I had nothing for both. So you can imagine what that was like. If you can relate, let me know. But for poor Ben, it's poor because it was poor me. I labored at home for 11 hours, just having contractions and just really trying to be like observant and counting between each contraction. It's not time to go in yet. It's still tolerable. Started at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, supper time, I was like crying at a table and just exhausted. And I knew it was time to go in. And when I went in, it was too late. I was already dilated. Couldn't get the epidural, couldn't do all the things that I had wanted and planned. And the nurse at the time gave me the mask, the oxygen mask, like the happy gas or whatever it is. And I threw it back at her. I was so vicious, so mad, so upset because I was like, I don't want to feel any of this. And so I was afraid, clearly. Fucking frightened to death. And I pushed poor Bennett for 2 hours. 2 hours, the poor thing, when he came out, I'll never forget it. This is horrific. You think it'd be like this magical moment. I was so exhausted, hurting so much. When I actually birthed him, like his poor head was completely deformed. They were going to try and do like the suction and all this stuff on him. It was a nightmare. He was facing the right, like his head was down, but instead of his head being face down, I think is what it's supposed to be, his head was down, but facing up. So it was just not the right, yeah, he was not in the right position and they couldn't twist him or turn him or didn't try. And I remember when he was born, this is like mortifying. I'll tell him at some point when he gets older. I remember them like laying, in quotations, him on top of my chest. It felt like they just threw this 100-pound seal on me. I remember I was just like, get this off of me, which sounds awful. I was just like, I don't know what just happened to me. I am a mess. I feel and disgusting and I don't know what's happening right now. I just need you to take the baby and clean him up and then bring him back to me so I can like get everything. Like I was delusional. I feel like it was just like wild. My poor mom and my youngest sister were out in a waiting room the whole time waiting for me. And they, I should ask Kelsey, I was just screaming my head off the entire time. Fucking Jesus. It was like, I thought a rocket was like coming out of my butt. Like really, it was so bad. And this is like, so if you can relate, if you've had childbirth, if you haven't and you're planning on having children, I'm very sorry because this is going to be like, what the frick? It was awful. So awful. And we thought, and we always said we were going to be one and done. And it was because just we didn't know how many kids we wanted. And after that experience, I was like, never again am I putting myself through that. And then, oops, here we are with baby number 2, 5 years later. But we did go 5 years without having our second child. But the first laboring was awful. the first year of Band in Alberta was, I don't remember. I do remember how tired I was and like waking up in the middle of the night. And I was always like, our kids never slept in bed with us. So I was that mom that was completely exhausted. And after they got out of the bassinet, they slept in their crib. And I would go out in the middle of the night and feed them in the rocking chair in the room and just be, Josh was gone. And there's a lot of nights where, like, I remember one night I just fell asleep on the floor next to the crib. Like, he was banging, probably sit off at this point, so he's a little bit older, but like completely emotionally exhausted, wore out. Yeah. And I think that point, that was like the turning point. He was almost a year old where we decided we need to move home because it's just too much, too hard for me. Yeah. So that's where the big move came from. Fast forward 5 years later, us for five full years saying we're one and done, we're one and done, we're one and done. I don't remember what happened. I don't remember what changed. I have no idea. I'll ask Josh, and if he remembers, I'll come back and record it. But I don't know what changed, but something changed, clearly. And then here comes Scarlett. And, like, I'm glad, obviously, that we didn't just have one and done, because we wouldn't have her. And the whole finding out we were pregnant with Scarlett was all around the whole Vegas ordeal and stuff. So it was very, very important, or very, what word is it? Yeah, very, like, life-changing moment, I will say. Just the timing of it just couldn't have been better. But that pregnancy, I still, I was thriving, doing all the things. But the delivery was, I almost had her in a rental car. And it's funny because a client of ours actually had a baby the exact same night in their car. If she's listening, you can comment and tell everyone, yes, it was me. It's hilarious. We were like in the same like room after, and we weren't, I don't know. I guess we did help them buy at that point. Maybe we didn't. Maybe we helped them buy after. I got to ask Josh timing, but we had a rental car. It was a Jeep, sporty Jeep. And I remember coming down Canmont Road and it was awful. And I got Josh, just drop me off at the door. This is just the type of people we are. Drop me off at the door and you go find parking. I'm going to drag my ass up through the health science, up to the birthing rooms, up to the case room. Security came behind me and wanted to know if I was okay, because I would stop along the way and hold the wall. And there was just water running everywhere. And it was like, don't talk to me. I'm getting on the elevator. I'm going upstairs and this kid is coming out. And I was just mortified. It was going to be the same experience as Ben. And it was not. I literally, Josh almost missed her birth because I got upstairs. I went in the case room. They brought me into the triage space to check me. And they're like, you need to go. So I was completely dilated. Probably like her head was like half out pretty much. I birthed her fully dressed. I didn't get a time to take my shirt off, my bra off. Josh literally just got in the room just in time. He was in the corner and he was like, what the hell just happened? Two pushes and she was out. Two pushes. And she, I like, my makeup was still okay. My hair was still okay. I was still fully dressed. Besides, obviously, I had my pants and underwear on off. The doctor arrived to cut the cord. The nurse was there when, like, she actually came out. So it was like, oh, okay. No, it wasn't good enough that we decided to have a third. So that doesn't give me all the feels to do it again, because that's not where we are. So I think the hardest part, what have been the hardest parts? I do remember the very first year of both kids, and I don't think it was like an undiagnosed thing or whatever, but I do feel there was a lot of, obviously, confusion and conflict and just like a struggle to not, like, you aren't number one anymore. Like, you can't really take care of yourself first anymore. You have to take care of these kids first. And, like, identity, like, trying to figure out who you are. Like, how do you act? How do you behave? Like, how do you take care of this thing? I definitely did struggle the first 2 years. I don't think I openly talked about it or, like, said anything to anyone. But just, like, just work through it all, like, quietly, like, just to myself. Just to try and figure out who I was again. And sometimes it was just really frustrating. And I guess it's just frustrating because if you hear a baby crying all day long, or a baby that only needs you. And I only breastfed both my kids like 4 months max. I think Scarlett was even less, because I just felt it was way too emotionally draining and exhausting. And I just needed someone else. I could not have a child attached to me 24/7. And I know most women would be like, oh my God, it's so magical. And it's such a special moment. But I didn't feel like that. Like my body just that didn't feel, it wasn't that comfortable to me. It was like, I will snuggle you, I will love you, I will do all the things, but just having you attached to my boob just didn't do it for me. I just didn't feel that, like, that ooey gooey connection. I felt that ooey gooey connection when I had a bottle in my hand and I could like swaddle you and snuggle you, not when I just had my boob out and you were like sucking on my boob. I just didn't really feel comfortable. I don't know why. I'm so weird, but, and I know it's super important and all things, but I stuck it out for 4 months and then I was like, this is it. And like, I couldn't really pump and it was just, I didn't really want stress, but I just wanted it to be easier. So that was that. So the first years were definitely a struggle. I do think the toddler years were probably, I don't know about the hardest, because I only have a 5-year-old and 10-year-old right now and I have no idea what's to come. I just remember what I was like as a teenager, and dad always wishes on me that one of my kids at least will be like me, and I can't even fathom what that will be like if one of them turns out like me when I grow up. When you're going through high school years. But I think looking back, things feel a lot easier right now. Not because our life isn't like wild madness, but it's just you can communicate with both of them, even the 5-year-old. I can communicate with them. It's still like some frustration, some miscommunication. There's still some arguments. There's still some like high emotions, but not like the toddler years. We didn't take Scarlett to a restaurant from like when she was 1 till she was 4. Like I didn't bring her to a restaurant for 3 full years. COVID helped with that, but like otherwise, like she did not. Like it just wasn't worth the time and energy and stress and the holy shit show that would happen in the restaurant. It just wasn't worth it. So toddler times were definitely hard for me. And I know Josh would like love to have a third baby right now. I'm sure he would, but like I just can't. I'm just not in that stage anymore. If I could just adopt like a 1-year-old for a day and then like they could come back in 4 years time, another 4 past all the messy things, like we could do that. But like, all the stuff in between, I'm just not there anymore. I just can't do it. So from the toddler years, there's a lot of snacks upon snacks, and every mom and every dad is sampling every snacks, and you're eating the snacks that they don't eat, and then whatever's left on their plate from dinner table, it's like nothing goes in the garbage. I was just that mom that just every time I'm making some toast or every time I'm giving them some spaghetti, I had to taste it, or what I didn't, you know, nothing gets thrown away. If it's a pizza pocket, there's 2 or 3 pieces of, oh, that don't get thrown away, I'm gonna eat it and then wash the dishes. Like that was bad. That was a trap that I fell into heavy. And I feel like I made Scarlett a craft dinner bowl tonight for supper. And literally, it wasn't even for supper. It was for 3 o'clock. She got home from school and she wanted a craft dinner bowl. And I didn't want to argue. I had a couple things left to do at work. So she had a craft dinner bowl at 3 o'clock. And what did I do when I made it? I had to sample it, of course. Like, that is the mom I am. It's not fit to eat, but I love it. I just need to sample it. And if you've done it too. I think throughout the years, a piece of motherhood that like I really like thrive and really excel and really take pride in is like the Pinterest parties. Not that I go on Pinterest and like, look at parties, but I just really love hosting and being able to throw my kids like epic birthday parties and school parties, summer parties. Like Josh is here we go again, because I have like the big monster bouncy castle rented. I just love those things. I love birthdays. It's my friend's birthday tomorrow. I'm not celebrating. It's not my birthday. I'm like, what do you mean? Be happy that you can celebrate your birthday. So it's definitely throughout the years, one thing that I really take pride in and really enjoy doing and really want and hopefully can always, me and Josh's birthday suck is in January, completely after New Year's. And it just, we never really been able to celebrate. I think even growing up, it was always like another fucking party after Christmas. But I don't want the kids, those highlights in a school summer party, your birthday party is like epic. Let's do something like super fun so you're going to remember it. So that's definitely one of my most favorite things about being a mom, is being able to throw epic parties for them. And I'm not sure what they're going to look like once they get in the teenage years and the kids, I guess they won't be kids at that point. They'll be like preteen. No, they will be teenagers. Sorry. Just not quite 19 maybe. And we're going to be that house. 100% we're going to be that house at the basement. all the kids are going to be hanging out and they're going to come up and be like, can we have a beer? And I'm going to be like, okay, sure. You're 18 or whatever you are. Have a beer. Like, we're here. We're home. Like, it's fine. Like, that, we're going to be that house. For all the moms that might be listening that hangs out with Scarlett and Ben, that's going to be awesome. Sorry. If you don't like it, we're not there yet, so you can't report us. But 100%, I can envision it. I can picture it right now. Motherhood has been, this is really light, actually. I didn't get really deep and dark into any negative things. I can't really remember anything. It's probably because it's too late. But it's been a journey of finding myself over and over again, finding the wife that Josh needs over and over again, and figuring out and finding and slapping myself back into, like, you're a mother to be compassionate and caring and snuggle and all the things. And I have to be reminded over and over again that, what do you mean you're not going to do that? Like, the kids want you to do it. Like, you need to do it. And I'm a little bit selfish sometimes. So I really need to, it's a constant show up better. When you look in my journal, one of the last things is, like, every day is, like, to be a better mom and wife. Every single day. I haven't written it for a few weeks, so I can't say every single day. So it's, I'm not feeling it right now. But that's a constant working on, need to do better, show up to be, like, a best or better. Better, a better version of you for everyone else. So that's my little walk down memory lane of traumatic childbirths and busy toddler years and trying to just be a great mom, a good mom even. It's fine. I just want my kids when they get older and in high school, they'll want to come hang out at our house, that they'll remember the birthday parties, that they'll remember the things, and they won't remember, mom and dad, we're up 6 o'clock in the morning talking about work again. Like, they're not going to remember those things. They're going to remember, like, these good things, the parties, the adventures, the staycations, the vacations, and they're going to remember that stuff, and I can't wait. So, happy Mother's Day. I hope all the moms, the fur moms, the soon-to-be moms, wanna-be moms, fill-in moms, auntie moms, grandma moms, had a wonderful weekend with loved ones. And I'm just happy that we got through, almost through the full school year. And I did not lose Bennett's basketball jersey or Scarlett's Spark t-shirt. It's winning. Until next time. Chat soon. Bye.
That wraps up another inspiring episode of Beyond the Bombshell. I hope our time together has ignited a fire within you to embrace your authentic self and show up fearlessly. If you enjoyed today's episode and want to continue this empowering conversation, make sure you subscribe to Beyond the Bombshell on your favorite podcast platform and join our community of fierce women who are rewriting the rules and embracing their unique journeys. Connect with me on social media at Bombshell Babes Club, where we can continue to uplift and support each other, to share Beyond the Bombshell moments, and let's inspire others to embrace their true selves. Remember, you are more than what meets the eye. You are a force to be reckoned with. Keep shining, keep growing, and keep embracing the extraordinary woman that you are. Until next time, stay real and keep going beyond the bombshell.